All right, so it is indeed good to be in the Church of the Messiah. And so we're going to go ahead and get right into it. So Psalms 133 and verses number 1 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And then in another place in Psalm a long time ago, the man David, he said it was good when he was able to come into the house of the Lord. And so I just simply point out that it's always good when people can come and be assembled together just for the purpose of giving praise and service to our Lord. And so we're going to begin in the Matthew chapter 5. We're going to begin in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, a quote here from our Lord. It reads, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." And so I would like to begin today by pointing out that the collective members of the church, the collective members of the McRaven Road Church of Christ, we ought to be the light of the world. Every one of us individually that are members of the body of Christ, every one of us should be a shining light whereby when we go from day to day, the works of the Most High is able to be seen through us. And so my topic for today is you can make a difference. You can make a difference. And so I would also like, before I begin, to point out that I do appreciate Brother Lennon and the McRaven Road Church of Christ here, as well as everybody that is here giving me this opportunity to be able to proclaim to you good people Christ and Him crucified. I would also like to thank all of the visitors that have taken the time to come out. There are probably some that I do not know, but also of those that I do know or have met, we have Dr. Sibley, my brother's landlord, in the house, so that's good. And then we have my brother, who is the brother between me and Van. And then we also have one of my brothers, one of the coaches from the Bell Haven track and field team. So my brother been doing a little bit of work, so that's all right. That's all right. And I would also like to mention, if y'all notice that I'm walking just a little bit funny, yesterday I participated in the Fundrun Urban Ultra 12-hour race. And so they proceeded to start at 7 o'clock in the morning. And they did suspend the race actually after our first 5K loop because of the tornado warning. And so after about an hour and a half, they let us went back on the course. And so I proceeded to run for, well, I didn't run all of it. So I proceeded to run, jog, and walk for somewhere over 10 hours yesterday. And I put up a total of 49.7 miles, so 80 kilometers. And this is the first time I have done a time-limited race. And I ended up getting fifth place, so I was pretty pleased with that. So I put in 49 miles. That's the first I've ever done in a day by about, I'm going to say, more than 17 miles. And so on that note, we're going to go ahead and proceed. So the topic is you can make a difference. And I often like to point out everywhere I go before I really begin, it's that all we simply want to do is be willing to let the word speak. You know, 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh, for the reason of the hope that is shown within you with meekness and fear." And I often like to open with a passage such as that because I like to let people know it does not matter what Shabelle Johnson helped to say. And truthfully, it does not matter what anybody helped to say. The only thing that matters is what thus saith the word of God. And so point one is we were called to be different. So this will be the first point. We were called to be different. And I will also note that I typically use the King James Version. So all of my references will be King James Version. So we were called to be different. We're going to begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. The word reads, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." And so I would simply like to point out, based on this passage, it's that those of us that will be saved, the word tells us that we have to come out from among the rest, and we have to be separate. And so on that note, I would like to ask every one of us in here today a question. If you are a woman, do you want to be a daughter of the King? And if you are a man, do you want to be a son of the King? And every one of us in here can answer that question individually for self. Let us go to the book of the 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. The word reads at 1 Peter 2, 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." So that's 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And so now when we proceed to look at this passage and consider it, everybody that is a member of the Church of the Messiah, everybody that has decided to come out from among the rest and be separate, the Lord has chosen the saved people to abide in his love and care. So what that means, it's the Lord chose me, Shabelle Johnson, to abide in his love. Every one of you in here today that proclaim to be a child of God, the Lord literally chose you to abide in his love. And we have another question that every one of us need to think about that we can each answer for self. And that question is, do you want to be somebody? Do you want to be somebody? Because when you proceed to look at this scripture, it point out at verse number 10 that the Lord can take a nobody like Shabelle Johnson and he can make that person become a somebody. I mean, verse 10 said, "In time past were not a people." There was a time when you was nobody. But the Lord proceeded to give us a chance to be somebody. So are you a person that's willing to take that chance? Are you a person that's willing to take that opportunity? So let us proceed to look at an example of people being called to be different, people being called to be peculiar, people being called to be holy, people being called to be set aside. We're going to go to the Acts chapter 2, and we will notice a number of scriptures in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, when we will first begin at verse number 36. Acts chapter 2, and the verse is 36. The word says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has chose, that God has made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." That's Acts 2:36. So in Acts 2 and verse 36, you have a specific point that's set forward, and that is, God has made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when we proceed to go to verse number 37, because of the preachings of Peter and the rest of the apostles, which actually began before verse 36, and they proceed to come down, when we get to verse number 37, the people that was listening, it says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And so at Acts 2:37, due to the word that the people heard, they proceeded to have a question, and in essence, the people, some of the people that was there on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, they wanted to know, "Well, Peter and the other apostles, what is it that we need to do to be saved?" And so Peter proceeded to give them an answer beginning at verse number 31 when they asked him, "What is it that we need to do?" Peter proceeds to give them an answer from verses 38 through 41. At verse 38 it says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received this word were baptized. And that same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And so this is the answer that Peter proceeded to give. And based on the answer that he gave, it pointed out that some of the people, they gladly received the word, they were baptized, and they were added to the church of the Messiah. In fact, it pointed out that on that day, at that specific time, you had about 3,000 people that were added. But in essence, what Peter proceeded to do with these people when they wanted to know, "Peter, what is it that we need to do to be saved?" The people, in essence, they were told that they needed to make a change. They proceeded to be told that salvation is for everybody. In essence, Peter let them know that salvation is for every man and for everyone. And so what that means, everybody that was there on the day of Pentecost, salvation was for all of those people. And then from anybody that would come after that day, because it was to their children and to all that were afar off, the afar off took in the Gentiles. So everybody there that day, anybody that would come afterwards, and that reached all the way up to today to get people like Shabelle Johnson. That reached up to today to get people like Dr. Sibley. That reached to today to get people like every one of you in here. And so every person can be saved if they'll proceed to follow what we find here in the Acts chapter 2. And sometimes people want to know, as far as Acts chapter 2, who were the people there that day that were saved? If we go back up earlier in the chapter, beginning at verse number 8, the scripture answer that question. So we'll read Acts chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. As far as who were the people saved on the day of Pentecost. At verse number 8 it says, "And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews, and proselytes, Cretes, and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." And so I would just like to point out that the people that were saved on the day of Pentecost, they were from all around. And now from a study of the scripture, we know that the truth came first, in essence, to the Jews or the house of Israel. But even here on the days of Pentecost, you had some people that had not even been born Jews that were saved. And we know that because it mentioned proselytes, and that would be, in essence, Gentiles that converted to Judaism. And so I would just like to point out again that any person living today can be saved if they will be willing to let the blood cleanse them. And that brings us to point number two. And point number two is capitalize on opportunity. Capitalize on opportunity. So we'll be going to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel. So turn back to the book of Daniel. That'll be after the book of Ezekiel. So after the book of Ezekiel, you have the book of Daniel. And we'll be in chapter 2 for a number of scriptures. Daniel chapter 2. And I'm going to turn there myself just in case I need to reference a few of those other verses around the passage that I will be at. So we will be in the book of Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. Now beginning at verse number 13. Daniel chapter 2 and beginning at verse number 13. It reads, "And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon." Verse 15, "He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would shew the king the interpretation. And so what you first proceed to have here in Daniel chapter 2, and now to get all of it, you would have to actually proceed to read the whole chapter. But anyway, what you have in Daniel chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of Babylon, he had a dream that troubled him. And when he woke up, he wanted to know more about his dream. And so what happened, King Nebuchadnezzar, specifically at verse number 2, it says, then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. And so what Nebuchadnezzar did, he proceeded to call for the wise men in his kingdom, and he told them the dream that I had. I want you to discern my dream. And however, the men were not able to discern the dream. So in essence, the king proceeded to sentence them to death. And so if you look at verse number 5, Daniel 2 and 5, it says, the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. And so I just want to make a little note about this, just so y'all see what really happened here. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And you know, sometimes when you have a dream, you wake up and you actually forget about your dream. And so he had forgot what was in his dream, but he knew what the dream caused actually troubled him. And so he called for his wise men and he said, interpret my dream. And so they said, king, tell us your dream. And he told them, I forgot it. And so then they wanted to know, man, if you don't even remember your dream, how can we interpret the dream? And Nebuchadnezzar told him, you better interpret my dream or you're going to have to die. And so if you look at verses 10 through 13, or specifically let us read verse number 11, Daniel 2:11, it says, and it is a rare thing that the king requires, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. And so what you proceed to have after this specific thing happened, it was one wise man in the kingdom that had not been given a chance. And that man's name was Daniel. Because the king's best men had not been able to interpret the dream. So he said, I want you to get rid of the best men. And then even the small ones like Daniel, you get rid of them too. Because he figured if the good men, the highest men, couldn't give him an answer, surely the smaller men couldn't. But in any case, Daniel had not been given a chance. And even though Daniel and the other people had been sentenced to death, Daniel proceeded to step forward. And he wanted to know, why is the decree so hasty? And in essence, Daniel proceeded to tell them folks, give me an opportunity to interpret the dream. And so when they proceeded to give him that opportunity, Daniel, along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they proceeded to go and make petition to their God, who was the God of heaven. And so if you go to Daniel chapter 2, verse 27 and 28, and we'll pick up there. Daniel chapter 2, verse 27 and 28. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. And if you read the scriptures after that, Daniel actually proceeded to tell him the dream that he had, and then he proceeded to interpret the dream. And then Nebuchadnezzar said, that is my dream. So it came back to him. But I just went here to the book of Daniel to point out something. It only takes one person to make a difference. Every one of you that are in here today, if you proceed to act on opportunity, just one person can make a difference. That means Shabelle Johnson can make a difference. That means Brother Land and Sister Land Each one of them can make a difference. It's Bellhaven track coach. She can make a difference. You see, any person can make a difference if they'll proceed to capitalize on opportunity. Daniel 2:47 through 49 says, the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is, that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him rule over the whole province of Babylon and the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. And so in essence, what you had is because Daniel proceeded to capitalize on an opportunity. He was able to save many people from death. And then he was also able to help himself and his three friends stay in a better position in the kingdom. And we'll look at one more passage while we're on this point. We won't make as many observations, but as we read this passage, I do want y'all to just simply think about this passage and look at the things that take place. So we're going to read Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 34. And what I would do is just read this all the way through, so just pay attention to it. And we won't have a whole lot of observations, just a few. But look and think about the things that take place in this passage and look at the opportunities that are capitalized on. So Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse number 25. It says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. At verse 29, it reads, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And so when you think about that passage, I'll just simply point out again, when you have opportunity to help people, you need to be willing to take such opportunities. When you have opportunities to tell people about the risen King, you need to be willing to take such opportunities. When you proceeded to look at this passage we just looked at 16:25-34, you had people in essence that would have never been on the same page, that was able to be on the same page because Paul and Silas proceeded to take an opportunity. I mean, when that earthquake proceeded to come through there, you had the Philippian jailer, and because he was in charge of the people, the Philippian jailer, he decided, if they have escaped, I know that I'm going to die anyway, so I'm going to go ahead and kill myself. But Paul and Silas told him, man, we are all here, and you don't have to kill yourself. And when he went and looked, and he saw that they were all still there, and no doubt he remembered the hymns that Paul and Silas had been singing. And he asked them, what is it that I need to do to be saved? And they proceeded to give him an answer. And then if you see what happened, this man in essence, who would have had no dealings with them, proceeded to take them to his own house. And he cleaned them up and he gave them food. So again, capitalize on opportunity. And as you go from day to day, remember that you do come into contact with people and behave accordingly. And then also, and I like to tell people this everywhere I go, while you are in the land of the living, if you have reasonable health and strength, you have opportunity and time to help somebody. You can help yourself and you can help other people. And that brings us to our third point. Do what you can do. Do what you can do. Notice John chapter 1, verses 40 and 41. John chapter 1, verse 40 and 41. The scripture read, one of the two which heard John speaking followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. This is John 1:40-41. So again, when you have the opportunity, tell people about the Messiah. You know, Andrew, he proceeded to hear something good. And he went and found his brother Simon Peter. And he told him, brother, we have found the Messiah. And so we need to be willing to seize the opportunity. And in time, and in the future, Peter proceeded to become a pillar in the church. In fact, at John 1:42, it says, and he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. And so because Andrew proceeded to go and call for his brother Simon Peter, Peter was able, in essence, to receive a real high position in the church. In essence, that's what happened. Because when you proceed to look at the book of Acts, what you really notice is that Peter was a leader among leaders. And so that's what Peter was. Now, when we flip this a little bit, and if you go to John 1:43-46 and watch what happened, and this is why each individual need to be willing to do what he can do. Each lady need to be willing to do what she can do. At John 1:43-46, it says, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find his Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. And so when you proceed to look at this, Philip went and found his friend Nathanael, and he told him, man, we have found the Messiah. And Nathanael wanted to know, man, what are you talking about? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And so Philip proceeded to tell him, I tell you what, come and see. And you know, I like to let people know something. If you can't do nothing else, you can tell somebody to come and see. You can tell them, it's somebody I know that can probably help you. All you have to do is come and see. And so again, when you have opportunities, tell people about the Christ. And see, if you notice, what did Andrew do? Andrew went and told his brother. Now when it come to Philip here, he didn't go to a brother. He went and found a friend. And so whatever good it is you can do, you do that. If you can go to family, go to family. If you can go to friends, go to friends. If you can go to acquaintances, go to acquaintances. If you can go to co-workers, go to co-workers. If you can go to the outcast, go to the outcast. John 4:25-29 would be dealing with the outcast. So let us notice John 4:25-29. John 4:25-29. We just looked at two men that proceeded to make a difference. Now we're going to look at a woman that makes a difference. John 4:25-29. It says, beginning at verse number 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and says to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. It's not this the Christ. And so this woman actually proceeded to go and tell people, I have something you need to see. And now at John 4:30, if you drop down to verse number 30, it says, then they went out of the city and came unto him. And when you go down to verse number 39, it says, and many other Samaritans of that city believed on him, for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. And so what happened is many of the Samaritans proceeded to believe in God because the woman at the well had the courage to speak of. And just a little side note, the Jews didn't really deal with the Samaritans, but at the beginning of chapter 4, there was a statement there in which the Messiah pointed out, I must needs go through Samaria So he had some work to do. And that's also why when we was at verse number 27, when it pointed out that his disciples came back and they marveled that he talked with the woman, what they were actually thinking, what is he doing talking to a Samaritan, even though they proceeded to not say anything. So just a little side note. But what you proceed to see is many of the Samaritans believed because you had a woman that was willing to speak up. And I also want to point out, it's even all right to be different sometimes. It's all right to utilize different approved approaches sometimes. It's all right not to follow the normal crowd sometimes. As long as you're doing the good that you can do. And that's a good example of this in scripture. Notice Mark 9, 38 through 40. Mark chapter 9, verse 38 through 40. This is an overlooked passage sometimes. Mark chapter 9, verse 38 through 40. And John answered him saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. And we forbade him because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, forbid him not. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. But he that is not against us is on our part. And so again, I simply want to point out, you can make a difference. I can make a difference. The McRaven Road Church of Christ in Clinton, Mississippi can make a difference. And so somebody that's a part of the McRaven Road Church of Christ may have a question. Well then, Johnson, if the McRaven Road Church of Christ can make a difference, how can the McRaven Road Church of Christ make a difference? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because that brings us to our fourth and final point. And so our fourth and final point is tell somebody about the redeemer. You know, in Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 15, Hebrews 3:15, it reads, while it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, it's in the provocation. That's something every one of us can do. Every one of us can tell somebody, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. That's something that Shabelle Johnson can do. That's something every person in here can do. That's a message that the McRaven Road Church of Christ can keep. If you look at Hebrews 3:14, it says, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. And so every one of us need to answer another question for self. Are you a partaker with Christ? Is Shabelle Johnson a partaker with Christ? Do I hold my confidence steadfast? Do you hold your confidence steadfast? You know, in 1 Corinthians 11:1, Brother Paul says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And just keep in mind, that if you give yourself to the Lord first, that means you can help somebody else do the same thing. So we're going to get ready to start bringing this to a close. Let us notice Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, remembering that every one of us can tell somebody about the redeemer. Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. It says, and I saw in the right hand a him that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And so what you have in Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, the man John, he was crying. And he was crying because nobody could loose that scroll. And what you had inside the scroll is you had salvation, but no man was found worthy to open it. And this is when John was in his vision, when he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. And so he was crying in his vision. But as it pointed out, thus one of the elders came forth and told him, Brother John, you don't have to cry anymore, because the Messiah has came forth, and he can loose the seal that nobody else can loose. So Christ loosed salvation when nobody else could do it. Shabelle Johnson couldn't loose salvation. Nobody else couldn't loose salvation. Sometime I like to play around one of the early popes. His name was Boniface III. And I like to tell people, no matter how strong his name may sound, he was not able to lose salvation either. And so I just simply want to ask every one of us a question. When was the last time you told somebody that salvation is free to every man and every woman? When is the last time Shabelle Johnson told somebody that salvation is free to every man, every woman that'll believe and obey? 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and the verses number 2 says, For he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, sisters and brothers, the word of God tells us that now is the time. The word of God tells us that today is the day. And there's simply a message that every one of us need to be willing to carry around. And so in conclusion, you that are in the assembly this day, where do you stand? Are you a person that has been walking upright in the way of the truth? Remember where we started at Matthew chapter 5, verse number 13. Matthew 5:13 says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be tried and under foot of men. So do you still have some salt in you? Or are you like I was yesterday after I had passed mile 40 and I needed some salt and I had to begin some pretzels trying to eat them so I could get some salt back in my body? But that's again why I point out to people, you do the good that you can do. The guy that got first place yesterday, he ran 4 or 5K loops more than I did, which means that guy was 12 miles ahead of me. Now, I did 49 miles, basically right at 50, which means the guy that won did 62 miles yesterday. That guy was laughing at me, and I was looking at this guy, man, how is this guy still running with all that energy? I was wanting to know how he kept his salt, and my salt was depleted. But remember that ye are the light of the world, and a city that set on a hill cannot be hid. That's Matthew 5:14. Notice Revelation 3:20 and 21. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, the Messiah says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in with him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. So are you a person that want to sit with the Lord in his throne? He tells us right here that he stands knocking at the door of every person's heart. All we have to do is be willing to let him in. You that are in the assembly at this time, if you are a person that proclaims to be saved, you simply need to ask yourself, have you been walking in a manner worthy of that call? If not, you just simply need to repent and make that right with the Lord. I like to let people know, you don't repent for Shabelle Johnson's benefit. You don't repent for no church's benefit. You repent so that you are able to be in harmony with the Lord. If there is somebody that has not been added to the Lord's body, you simply need to be willing to follow the example that we saw when we were in Acts chapter 2, where at verse number 37, the people, they proceeded to ask, what is it that we need to do to be saved? And of course, we know at verse 38, Peter gave an answer, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, remembering that the promise of salvation, it's to every man and to every woman. So if there's someone that needs to be added to that number, hey, all you have to do is let the Lord know, hey, I am ready. Let us be standing, notice that.